The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. If you like what you hear on the show, I want to encourage you to go to faithalone.org and click on events. On there, you'll find that our National Bible Conference is coming up pretty soon. We would love to see you there. You can even register right there on the site. Now, we're up to number 9 in a very interesting series that we've been doing lately. We're calling it the 10 Plagues of Egypt. And the plague that we're going to be looking at this time is locusts. We're joined by special guest David Renfro, and the conversation stands to be an interesting one. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkins, Sean Lazar, and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going over the plagues of Egypt with David Renfro. Welcome, David. We've gone over plagues 1 through 7, and we're going to start plague number 8. Now, so far, what we've seen is kind of a mixture of judgment and mercy. I liked your point that you made in the last episode, David, that with the plague of hail, the mercy was in the warning. The hail was going to come. It was going to kill any animals that were still left in the field. But because they had like a 24-hour warning, they had time, if they believed the threat, to bring in their animals into relative safety. So there was a little bit of mercy mixed in there.
I think there was a lot of grace shown Pharaoh, especially at the 7th plague. He's been obstinate and stubborn for 6 plagues, and he is still not willing to let the Israelites go, and yet the Lord shows grace. You know, we talk about his infinite grace. I think this is an example of it. He's showing a lot of mercy to Pharaoh. Number one, he doesn't deserve it. He's done nothing to deserve the warning that he got in plague number 7.
Right.
You know, David, it strikes me as we're talking about this, this kind of foreshadows what later happens to Israel. Because like Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy 28, they're the blessing and cursing chapters.
Right.
And they basically say, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. But you, Israel, if you disobey me, there are going to be cycles of curses, 7 cycles, each one worse than before.
Right.
What you have here is kind of like 4 cycles, right? 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 7 through 9, and then the biggie in 10. But this same kind of thing, doesn't it happen to Israel later when Israel goes through? Because when Israel was hard of heart, and when Israel was rebellious against the Lord, it too would be judged.
The Deuteronomy 28 passage that you mentioned, it has been fulfilled literally many times. You know, in 722 B.C., when the Assyrians took over the 10 northern tribes and just destroyed them and dispersed them, and you don't hear from them ever again.
Right.
586 B.C., that's when they took over the 2 southern tribes and destroyed Jerusalem, took out, you know, who they didn't kill, they took over to Babylon.
Right.
And they spent 70 years there. Then you have between the Testaments, you have the Greeks coming in. But then you can think of more contemporary things, like look what's been happening to them really for centuries.
I guess that kind of sheds an interesting light on this passage. We might be tempted to read it like the Egyptians are the scoundrels and the Hebrews are the saints. But the truth is, as you see in the Exodus and in the wilderness generation, they're just as much scoundrels as anyone else. Everyone's a scoundrel.
Read Exodus 32, which is the golden calf episode.
Right.
And they had just gotten out of Egypt not that long before, and yet they're doing horrible things with idolatry at that point. They don't deserve his choosing them. The Lord didn't choose them as his people because they were so good.
Yep.
It was pure grace. And nothing else, really. It's a testament to the grace of God, but it's also sad to see the failure of God's covenant people.
Right. So Exodus chapter 10, that's where we read about the 8th plague. Here it starts with a statement about, say, God's sovereignty. In verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. And here's another purpose, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt." So all throughout this narrative, up until this point, I think, we've read about Pharaoh hardened his heart and it became hard, and it's not really sure. We're not really sure who hardened it. And now finally we have a statement that God has hardened his heart.
Right.
What do you see there? Do you see a progression of Pharaoh hardening and then finally God hardening, or is it both throughout this thing, or what do you think?
I think it's similar to what we see in the New Testament in Romans 1 when Paul says he gave them over to their... They already chose to go a sinful way, the certain people that he's talking about. And so at some point, the Lord says, okay, go that way. You're now... And I think that's what's going on here. Pharaoh could have, quote, repented and allowed the Israelites to go. He chose not to do that.
Right.
Remember, this is his choice.
Yeah, he had plenty of opportunities.
Exactly.
And each time... Really, it was outright deceit over the last several... I'm sorry, please take this away, and then I'm just going to get right back to
rebelling. He's winking. When he says, I'm so sorry, he's winking all the time.
Yeah.
With his fingers crossed.
Right.
He has absolutely no intention of doing what he's telling Moses.
But also, God's purpose here is really to also teach the Israelites something, right? He's doing these plagues, like he says here, so that you can tell your son and your son's son all the mighty things that were done here.
And that's highly significant. You would think that the minute Pharaoh says, please go, that he would go. But no, this is plague 8. 8, 9, and 10 still have to be done, and that's part of God's plan as I see it. Why? Because God's covenant people need to know that he is the creator, the Almighty. In fact, it says it here. Verse 2 of chapter 10, mighty things I've done in Egypt, my signs which I've done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh.
Yeah.
I think both Egypt and Israel have to know that, have to understand. That is the point of these plagues.
Right.
That everybody needs to know that, like you said, he's God and you're not.
Yeah.
And therefore, what he says goes. He's the absolute sovereign. Sovereignty of God is not taught very much in churches anymore, and yet you see it on almost every page of the Bible.
Maybe you could make a brief comment on where we got the word Jehovah. Because a lot of people don't say Yahweh. I notice you say Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Where did we come up with this name Jehovah? It's in a lot of our songs and things.
Right.
And
Jehovah is just a pronunciation of the word Yahweh. Yahweh is a Hebrew word. It was told to Moses way back in Exodus 3. He said, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knew me as El Shaddai, the caring God. But they did not know me as Yahweh. And the word Yahweh, which means I am, that is tied to the covenant. The patriarchs didn't know the Lord as the covenant God.
Yeah.
They knew him as the caring God, the protector, the provider God. Now he's going to be known as Yahweh, the covenant keeper. Jehovah is another pronunciation of Yahweh, or sometimes if you look at the Hebrew vowel pointing, it's Yehovah, that kind of thing.
Well, the locusts are going to come. And what's I like in verse 5, I don't like it, I feel sorry for the Egyptians, but in verse 5 he mentions, you know, when the hail came, David, you mentioned last time, and anyone who lives in Texas who has a garden, when hail comes, it destroys your garden. It absolutely destroys it. And so here are the Egyptians, this hail, unlike anything they've ever experienced in history, comes. You can't bring your crops inside. They could have. They had a chance to bring their animals inside, but the crops totally get destroyed.
Right.
But not completely. In verse 5, it says, these locusts are going to come, chapter 10, verse 5, and they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. So these locusts are going to come. They're going to cover everything. And we experience locusts today, not in Texas, but in other parts of the world. And these locusts are going to eat up what was left of their already severely damaged crop. This is famine-inducing. If you don't have something in a silo or stored away, there's going to be mass starvation. There's going to be mass suffering from this.
This plus the previous plague would destroy the Egyptian economy completely.
Yeah.
And it would cause immense suffering.
And then Pharaoh's servants in verse 7, they've had it. Right, Pharaoh's servant says, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? And so they've seen this damage. And by the way, all along, God has been telling Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the people go so that they may serve him. What do you think that meant? Because it sounds like the servants here are like, hey, listen, they just want to go on a vacation for a little bit, to worship for a while.
Well, earlier it was said that they were going to be gone for 3 days.
So what is that? Is that a deception on God's part? Or, I mean, what is it?
Well, I think it was a saying, because earlier when Moses said, we need to go 3 days' journey. Well, guess what? That would take them out of the boundary of Egypt, and therefore outside of Pharaoh's control, meaning they could go anywhere and do anything. And that's, Pharaoh knew that.
That's the way Pharaoh took it.
That's right. I don't think it was a deception as much as it was kind of a saying, hey, we're going to go 3 days' journey. It'd be like, oh, we're going to take a road trip for 5 days. Well, that kind of implies you're going to go to the East Coast or the West Coast.
Right.
So the locusts come, and they do just as much damage as you would expect them to do. And Pharaoh once again calls for Moses and Aaron and says, I've sinned, in verse 16, I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So they go, they entreat the Lord, and the Lord brings a wind that blows the locusts into the Red Sea. And yet, verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go.
Pharaoh still is trying to pull a fast one, there's no doubt. Verse 8, he says, Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord. Who are the ones that are going? Now, who's going with you? And I have a little note here. What does he think is going to go with them? Pharaoh wants to control who goes. That's the whole point. Pharaoh is sovereign.
Yeah.
And Moses says, we're going to go with everybody, young and old, flocks and herds, sons and daughters, everybody, and we're going to hold a feast. What I love with verse 10, notice it says, the Lord, he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you go and your little ones go. Beware, evil is ahead of you. The word for evil in Hebrew is ra'ah. Well, Ra is the name of the primary Egyptian god.
Oh, yeah.
So he's probably doing a little wordplay here.
Okay.
And it could be, now look out, Ra is going to go after you.
And what we're going to find, of course, is the exact opposite's happening. God is coming after Pharaoh.
Absolutely.
Which we're going to see in the next plague. So keep on listening. Be sure to give us a good review on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify or whatever platform you're listening on. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our discussion about the 10 plagues as we look at the plague of darkness. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.